Welcome to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. On today's show, we're going to get an update from the Minnesota National Guard and the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs on their efforts to fight the COVID-19 pandemic. But first, it's time for Generally Speaking, a weekly message from the Adjutant General of the Minnesota National Guard, Major General Sean Mankey.
As the cold of Minnesota's winter sets in, please take time to prepare yourself and your family for a safe and enjoyable season. First, as you plan for your winter travels, know before you go. Check on current weather warnings and always plan for extra time on the roads. Also, be sure to prepare an emergency survival kit for your vehicle. Next, dress for the cold and know the signs of frostbite. Gray, waxy skin and numbness in your extremities are early indicators. Frostbite and hypothermia can set in very quickly. Finally, be sure to check your carbon monoxide detectors for battery life and effectiveness. It's also a good idea to have the furnace tuned up by a professional if you have the means to do so. Whether you are one of our airmen or soldiers or part of our larger Minnesota community, we wish you and yours a happy and safe winter season.
Thank you, General Mankey. For more information, please go to MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. Colonel Scott Roweeder serves as the Director of Operations for the Minnesota National Guard, responsible for all matters concerning training, operations and plans, and force development and modernization. And he's joining us now, Colonel Roweeder, and welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio.
Thank you, Tom. It's great to be back.
Sir, I was wondering, could you just share with us how many years have you been in the military now?
I've been serving in the military for 24 years. Four of those were active component. Then I transferred to the Minnesota National Guard, where I've been serving for over 20 years here at the Minnesota National Guard.
And, sir, your position now is Director of Operations. It sounds like that's all-encompassing. You're kind of a wide variety of things you have to oversee.
It sure is. I took over this position about 9 months ago, and I'll tell you, it's been one fun 9 months with all the operations the Minnesota National Guard's been involved with. I think the last time we talked, Tom, we were talking about worst-case scenario being some flooding going on in the state of Minnesota, and there was this little thing called COVID out there, and not only has that really picked up, but with the civil disturbance operations we supported, it's been a pretty busy year.
Colonel, I think that first show we were on, we were talking about Homeland Security and what might come up this year, and no one had an idea that there'd be a worldwide pandemic. And, of course, you had pretty good timing. You started in this position, and all of a sudden, just everything happened with the coronavirus. That's really put you on a fast track, I think, with a lot to do, sir.
That's for sure, Tom. It's been extremely busy, but it's been very challenging and rewarding as well to be able to support the state of Minnesota with everything our soldiers and airmen are doing right now or have done this past year. It's been great to support the state.
Colonel, as I recall, when the COVID came up and started, the biggest issue was PPE, personal protection equipment. And one of the things I heard was we had some supplies up at Camp Ripley, and some of your guardsmen were activated to get those supplies delivered to the hospitals and those in need.
Yep, that's correct. That's how it started for us, delivering some of those supplies and PPE from that warehouse and quickly developed into warehouse support operations down here at the state's warehouse, where we provided personnel to help manage that facility and receive the multiple shipments that came in to support the state and get those out to the hospitals and clinics. And it's quickly evolved into testing operations and long-term care facility support.
So, Colonel, it's been probably the busiest year that I've observed. We've had federal deployments. We've had state call-ups for the riots and things that were happening. And then, of course, COVID-19 has been on and off all year long. This must be about the busiest year the Minnesota National Guard's ever had.
I think you're right about that. With the those operations that you just mentioned there, along with the 134th Armored Brigade Combat Team conducting their mission at the National Training Center, which, by the way, was nationally praised because of the fact that they were the first unit to actually go to the National Training Center once COVID started shutting everything down. So, once again, Minnesota led the way in establishing protocols and procedures to get us out there to be able to continue to perform our training mission while serving the state and our state active duty statuses.
We're speaking with Colonel Scott Roeder, the Director of Operations for the Minnesota National Guard on Minnesota Military Radio. And, sir, we've had troops deployed. We had the 34th ECAB was overseas and just got home, and then we sent out some more troops to the Horn of Africa and some additional MPs down to Gitmo. It's been a really busy year on the federal side.
It sure has, and, you know, it's funny. You know, normally the federal mobilizations are kind of front page news when it comes to the Minnesota National Guard, but with all the different operations we've been involved with, whether it's COVID or civil disturbance, you don't hear so much about those. But our soldiers are still continuing to train for their federal mission. And you mentioned a few of the units that have been out there on the federal missions doing wonderful jobs. The ECAB was actually extended on their deployment and performed exceptionally. And then the 2135, they're in the Horn of Africa. We have some military police that are in Gitmo right now supporting the detainee operations. So, yep, we continue on with our federal missions while we're still supporting the state and the state active duty missions.
And, Colonel, when we followed the deployment to the NTC, the National Training Center, the COVID-19 was just one extra aspect that they had to deal with, get the troops up to Camp Ripley, make sure everybody was safe and healthy, then get them out to the desert out in California, and took along a lot of medics to make sure that the force dealt with the COVID-19 and was able to do their job. And the reports we got back was that was just another aspect, another training aspect, and things went well.
Yeah, sure was. It was something where, you know, when we were training and getting ready to go to National Training Center, that's when the COVID was really starting to spike up. And again, there was a lot of fears about sending forces out to the training center and traveling and bringing that large of a contingent, you know, over 5,000 soldiers and airmen together to conduct a training exercise out at in another state. And again, we led the way in developing those protocols and procedures that I know the Department of the Army accepted and is now utilizing throughout the nation with other units that are conducting those same types of training operations. So, yeah, the 134 Armored Brigade Combat Team really, really did a great job planning that. And the state of Minnesota also assisted with that, whether it was Department of Health and other agencies that helped support some of those testing operations and quarantine operations that we were able to do with that team to make sure they were safe and able to conduct their mission.
And, sir, they got home safe and all of their equipment's up in Camp Ripley being reworked, although I guess it came back in really great shape. But while the 34th Armored Brigade Combat Team was at the top of the training cycle, their reward is they're preparing for another deployment after the first of the year.
And that's correct. It's one of the other challenges that we have with, you know, the state active duty missions that we're doing right now is we're trying to support the state. We're also trying to mobilize another unit to get ready to go to the Middle East. So, yep, it's got its challenges, but the units meeting those challenges and the state is continuing to support their operations, and we feel very confident and comfortable we'll be able to execute all missions and get them safely on their deployment.
And, sir, we were certainly happy to see the ECAB get back to town for Thanksgiving and be off through the end of the year. So they missed the holidays last year, but they get to spend the holidays at home with their families this year. We were pretty happy to see that, Colonel.
Absolutely. It's great to have the ECAB back. You know, it's a big unit within the state, as many are aware, you know, all the aviation assets that they have that help support the state in different operations, whether it might be firefighting type operations, if that need arises. It's a great capability that we possess here in the state, and it's very, very nice to have them back. Great to have the soldiers back. Great to see their families reunited after such a long deployment, and especially in time for the holidays.
Sir, we have to take a short break. When we come back, I'd like to talk to you about, I know you have hundreds of National Guard troops out supporting the state of Minnesota in the COVID-19 pandemic. We're speaking with Colonel Scott Roeder on Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. We'll be right back. Well, welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons, and on today's show, we've been talking to Colonel Scott Roeder, the Director of Operations for the Minnesota National Guard. And Colonel, I've got a quote here from the Adjutant General, Major General Sean Mankey, and he says, "The Minnesota National Guard stands ready to assist the people of the state and the nation through the uncertainty of this COVID-19 crisis period. Guardsmen enlist to serve and defend their friends and neighbors during times of need, whether for a pandemic, natural disaster, or to defend our nation overseas. The Guard will be there when they need us. And Colonel, we've talked on this show before about the National Guard, especially the Minnesota National Guard, has a dual mission. One is part federal, and we've talked about the fact that we've got troops deployed around the world and some of them coming home, and then the state mission. And, of course, the state mission this year has been focused on a couple of things. We've had some rioting, and you've been called up to aid with that. But what we want to talk about this segment is the state call-up in support of COVID-19. And Colonel, my understanding is most of your guardsmen, when they're called up to state active duty to help their neighbors, they get pretty excited about their opportunity to help their neighbors with whatever it might be.
True, Tom. When we do a call-up like this, typically we don't have to necessarily call up units, per se, to do an operation. A lot of times we can reach out to our soldiers and airmen and ask for volunteers, and it's amazing how many people will come forward to support their communities and the state and these types of operations, especially when you know there's a crisis happening and our fellow Minnesotans need our help. So it's great to see the mass volunteer force that we can typically get amongst our soldiers and airmen.
And, sir, currently in support of the COVID-19 pandemic, I understand your guardsmen have been called up and they're focusing on three areas, supporting the naval swab community testing, supporting saliva community testing, and staffing support to long-term facilities. And when they do that, it's my understanding that they will not be conducting the testing, but they'll be assisting with logistics, registration, supply management, and transportation in coordinates with the local public health staff. Sounds to me like they're doing everything to help the public health staff to speed up the process and make it as efficient as possible.
That's correct, Tom. We help out wherever we can with those operations. It's amazing when they went to open up these no-barrier testing sites. It's amazing how fast the schedules fill up and how many people attend those sites to get tested, which is great to see. It's good to see people out there being tested to make sure that they're cautious amongst their fellow citizens here in the state of Minnesota. And we're just happy to be a big part of that, whether it's in support operations, logistics operations, anything we can do to help increase the capacity.
Well, sir, have you opened up some of your armories to be semi-permanent testing locations?
We have, Tom. We're currently in 17 separate community-based testing sites. The armory locations that we've opened up for these testing sites are located in Invergrove Heights, Anoka, Stillwater, Hibbing, Crookston, Morris, Albert Lea, Wadena, Fairmont, Hutchinson, Anoka, and Invergrove Heights. So we're in quite a few armories.
And will those? Do you think those will be open for the rest of the year, sir?
Right now, they're projected to be open through 31 January.
And for our friends and neighbors, for all of the people who live in Minnesota, if they need to get a test, are those tests available free, Colonel?
They are. It's no barrier, and they're free tests for the community. Yes, sir.
So in those communities that you just mentioned, if you need to get a test, then go over there and go to those armories, and your troops will take care of them. Now, Colonel, I understand that you're also staffing to support some long-term care facilities. Is there some special training required for your airmen and soldiers that are called up for that duty?
There is, Tom. As I'm sure you're aware, you know, when it comes to the long-term care facilities, typically they're staffed with nurses and certified nursing assistants. And the CNA position, the certified nursing assistant, that's some pretty tough duty. It's a very difficult task to make sure you're providing proper care for the senior citizens throughout our state of Minnesota. And there's a lot of long-term care facilities throughout the state. So when the state identified a need due to staffing shortages, due to staff becoming infected with COVID or being in close contact. They asked what we could do at the Minnesota National Guard to help support. In conjunction with the Minnesota Department of Health, we developed a training program that consists of 4 days. We have one day of in-class training and computer-based training that our soldiers and airmen receive, and then they have 2 days of hands-on training where they actually learn how to operate some of the equipment and how to work with patients. And then the final day is a certification process. And at the end of that 4 days, our soldiers and airmen leave with becoming certified temporary nurses' aides. So it's not quite a certified nursing assistant, but it's a temporary nurses' aide that can go in and help assist with various tasks and duties within those long-term care facilities.
So, Colonel, most of your National Guard soldiers and airmen have other civilian jobs. So, if they're called up and asked to participate to help with the support long-term care facilities, what's a typical deployment look like? Do they come up for a couple of weeks and then get relieved, or are they up for a longer period of time?
Well, right now with the support that we're providing at the various locations, currently right now we're in 7 different long-term care facility locations, and then not knowing necessarily how long this support is going to be required, right now we've notified our soldiers and airmen that a rotation could be up to approximately 60 days. It could be a sooner relief than that, but the intent is we have them developed in these medical strike teams that we've created, which are 20-man teams consisting of one nurse, 4 Army medics or Air Force medical technicians, and 15 temporary nurses' aides. Each one of those teams will go to a facility for up to 14 days, and then they'll be pulled off that facility, go into a quarantine period where they'll get tested again for COVID, get a temporary pass where they might be able to go home, visit their family, or whatever the soldiers, airmen choose to do at that during that pass, and then they'll come back and get retested again to verify that they're healthy to go back into the next long-term care facility. So that's the type of rotation that we're putting these teams through.
And Colonel, if there's a facility, a long-term care facility out there that has exhausted all other avenues of staffing because of the COVID-19, do they request assistance from the state of Minnesota?
They do. So they'll make their request up through the State Emergency Operations Center, and there's a team there that is led by the Minnesota Department of Health where they review all of the facilities throughout the state and identify the ones that are in the most need of state resources and assets, and then that's how they prioritize those. So if, for instance, if there's a facility that is in critical need of assistance and they want to utilize the National Guard for that, we have survey teams that will go out ahead of our medical strike teams, actually meet with the director of nursing, identify what the actual needs are, and set the expectations with that director of nursing of what our personnel are capable of doing and not doing. So there's good expectations, and then our team will arrive with the appropriate amount of forces to be able to conduct the missions that are needed.
Well, Colonel, I think we're certainly thankful that we have Minnesota National Guard troops available to help during a time of national crisis like this. But one last question for you. It's been a busy, busy year, sir. How are your troops doing? How are they holding up?
Morale's really good. We go around, we do leader visits to each one of our locations, and every report that we get back from our senior leaders is the teams are very positive. Excited to be out there assisting the community. A lot of them want to just continue on state active duty and like what they're doing and want to continue operations, whether it's with the testing operations or the long-term care facility operations. So we're getting a lot of good positive feedback from our soldiers and airmen, and they're happy to be out there supporting the state and doing what we can for this global pandemic. So they're doing great, and we couldn't be more happy.
Colonel, it looks like the vaccine's getting close, so I just hope we can hold on and keep our citizens safe for the next few months and get that vaccine out there and end this pandemic. But I want to thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule for joining us today on Minnesota Military Radio.
Absolutely. Thanks, Tom. Appreciate it.
Thank you, sir. That was Colonel Scott Roweeder, the Director of Operations from the Minnesota National Guard on Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. When we come back, we're going to hear from the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. In a moment, we're going to get an update from the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs on their efforts to fight the COVID-19 pandemic. But first, it's time for the Commissioner's Corner, a weekly update from the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs. Now, here's Commissioner Larry Herkey.
Minnesota winters can be beautiful, and many of us have learned to enjoy the season. But for those who are homeless, Minnesota winters can also be deadly. Hundreds of our military veterans across Minnesota continue to struggle with homelessness. In 2019, the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs was able to house 536 formerly homeless veterans in safe and secure housing. That is the highest number yet since our initiative began in 2014. During these cold winter days, we are asking landlords to open their doors to homeless veterans. Landlords, I ask that you please contact HousingLink at www.housinglink.org to learn more. If you know of a veteran facing homelessness, please call 1-888-LINK-VET for help. Our goal is to become the fourth state in the country to effectively end veterans' homelessness, especially during these Minnesota winters. I would like to thank our 55 veterans homeless partners for their support and continued efforts to effectively end homelessness.
Thank you, Commissioner Herkey. For more information, please go to MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. Joining me now is Eric Moline, the Veterans Benefits Division Supervisor from the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs. Eric, welcome to Minnesota Military Radio.
Thanks for having me.
Eric, I understand you spent some time in the Army Reserves.
I did, yep. I served in Iraq, deployed to Iraq from 2003 to 2004, and I served in the Reserves for 8 years.
And how long have you been with the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs?
I've been with the agency for about 8 years. My first 6 years, I was stationed at the Minneapolis VA Hospital in our Field Operations Division, and I've been a Benefits Division Supervisor for about 2 years now.
And Eric, this year, 2020, has been, I call it the COVID-19 lost year, but COVID-19 has affected everything everybody does, and I'm sure it's affected a lot of things at the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs. Can you give us a little rundown? How has that affected the State Soldiers Assistance Program?
When the COVID-19 pandemic began, we knew that we wanted to do something extra to help out veterans and their families. So on March 26th of this year, our agency was awarded an additional $6.2 million in appropriation by the Minnesota State Legislature to provide direct financial assistance to veterans and their families that have been impacted by COVID-19. We quickly created and implemented three new programs. These programs are COVID-19 Disaster Relief Grant, our COVID-19 Special Needs Grant, and our COVID-19 K-12 Distance Learning Support Grant, kind of a mouthful on that one. When we first opened these programs up to applicants, we had about 2,000 applications in the first week or two, when we normally only get about 200 per month total for all of our programs. So I definitely have to commend my team, the support from the other areas of our agency, and, of course, the CVSOs in getting these applications submitted to us and processed. I can tell you there were many long nights and weekends spent by our staff getting this financial assistance out to veterans in need, all while working remotely. And I'm extremely proud of their hard work and awesome attitudes. They definitely know how impactful their work is for families in need. And the hard work continues. We're currently in the process of conducting a second media blitz, is what we're calling it, to help get the word out about these programs and, more importantly, get the financial assistance out to veterans and their families that are in need right now. Today, we've received about 5,600 applications for our COVID-19 Disaster Relief Grant, about 500 applications for our COVID-19 Special Needs Grant, and about 325 applications for our Distance Learning Support Grant.
We're speaking with Eric Moline, Veterans Benefit Division Supervisor from the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs on Minnesota Military Radio. Eric, you mentioned three new programs. Could you tell us first about the COVID-19 Disaster Relief Grant?
I'd love to. The purpose of the COVID-19 Disaster Relief Grant is to mitigate the negative effects of economic impact COVID-19 has had on veterans and their families by providing a one-time financial relief grant in the amount of $1,000. This grant is paid directly to qualifying veterans and their families.
And I believe the second one you were talking about was a special needs grant.
Correct. COVID special needs grant, because we also have a regular special needs grant as well. But the purpose of this COVID-19 special needs grant is to provide a one-time financial grant up to $3,000 to a qualifying veteran or surviving spouse who needs assistance due to a COVID-19 related event. This grant is paid directly to vendors on behalf of the veteran and their families. Some of the items we'll consider assisting with are things like rent, mortgage, utility bills, auto insurance, rental security deposits, medical bills, auto loan payments, property taxes, things like that, auto repairs, stuff like that.
And then the third one was a COVID-19 K through 12 distance learning support grant. That sounds like something that all of our students today are forced to do, distance learning.
Right, right. So this was actually a fairly newly created program that we created after the summer had progressed. The purpose of this grant, the COVID-19 K through 12 Distance Learning Support Grant, it's kind of a mouthful, or we call it the DLSG. The purpose of this grant is to mitigate the negative financial impact a family experiences by implementing their school district's distance learning or hybrid learning plans by providing a one-time grant in the amount of $3,000. This grant is paid directly to qualifying veterans and their families.
So, Eric, we've talked about the COVID-19 Disaster Relief Grant, the COVID-19 Special Needs Grant, and the COVID-19 K-12 Distance Learning Support Grant. If one of our listeners wanted to apply for one of those three grants, how do they do that?
When in doubt, call your CVSO, your County Veteran Service Officer. You'll hear me say that a lot.
All right. When all else fails, if you need a veteran's benefit, you always start with your County Veteran Service Officer. Tell them that you want to apply for one of those three grants, and they'll help you work through the paperwork. And, Eric, you said that you mentioned that there's a couple $1 million left of that grant money.
Correct. We have just under $2 million left for our three COVID-19 programs. We still have plenty of money for our normal programs. So definitely contact your CVSO or County Veteran Service Officer as soon as possible and get those applications in. Once that $6.2 million is gone, these benefits will end and close to applicants.
And, Eric, if they visit the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs website or call 1-800-LINK-VET, can they get some information there as well?
Absolutely, they can, yes.
So you're encouraging all of our listeners, if you're having some problems related to COVID-19, either apply for the Disaster Relief Grant, the Special Needs Grant, or the Distance Learning Support Grant, and those are all special COVID-19 grants. Do that via your County Veteran Service Officer, or go to the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs website, or call 1-888-LINK-VET. Eric, we're going to take a short break. When we come back, I want to talk about some other state soldiers assistance programs. Please stay with us. We'll be right back. This is Minnesota Military Radio. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. We've been speaking with Eric Moline, the Veterans Benefits Division Supervisor from the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs. And in the first segment, we were talking about the disaster relief grants that you've had. And Eric, can you just review that? There's three type of COVID-19 disaster relief grants. Can you quickly just go through those three?
Yes, sir. So we have the COVID-19 disaster relief grant, which is designed to help mitigate the negative financial impacts by providing a $1,000 grant to veterans. We have our COVID-19 special needs grant, which is designed as kind of a short-term assistance up to $3,000 for veterans and their families in need. And then we have our COVID-19 K-12 distance learning support grant, which is designed to mitigate the negative financial impacts that families are having by trying to implement their school district's either hybrid learning program or distance learning program.
And Eric, these were special funds that were allocated by the state legislature, and was $6.2 million. And you've still got $2 million left over for these three programs?
Correct. Just under $2 million, yes.
And if any of our listeners would like to look into those, I think you told us in the first segment, as usual, talk to your County Veteran Service Officer, or they can go to the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs website and find some information there, or they can call 1-888-LINK-VET. And I think you'd like to spend that $2 million to help our Minnesota military families as quickly as possible, correct?
Yes, we would.
All right. Eric, I want to talk about some other programs. Does the state soldiers assistance programs have any other normal programs that aside from these COVID-19 specials?
We do. So one of the first ones we have are dental and optical grants. This program provides vouchers for low-income veterans and their families that can be used in the community to get basic dental and optical services. We do have income and asset limits for this program, and these benefits are available annually as long as they remain below our income and asset limits. Another program we have is the subsistence program or subsistence grant. This program, you can think of it like a short-term disability. A typical scenario for assistance would be a working veteran gets injured, does not have to be military related. They could fall down on the job, a civilian job, and throw out their back, and they're unable to work. We can assist with things like rent, mortgage, utilities, that kind of stuff, up to 6 months until they're either able to return to work or until some sort of long-term assistance kicks in, like Social Security or something like that. This program is also available to a surviving spouse within 1 year of the veteran's death. So again, the surviving spouse doesn't have to be injured or anything. Veteran passes away and maybe they're trying to adjust to the new income. We can potentially come in and assist with that, and assist while they while that surviving spouse stabilizes. Next, we have our regular special needs grant. This is a once-per-lifetime benefit, and it's designed to help stabilize veterans and their families who are experiencing a short-term financial emergency. We do not have any income or asset limits for this program. However, it's still a needs-based program. Some typical things we'll assist with are rent, mortgage, utilities, certain home repairs, vehicle-related expenses, et cetera. Next, we have our surviving spouse and dependent education grants. This is an annual $750 stipend that's provided for limited educational assistance for post-secondary schooling to surviving spouses and dependents of veterans that have had their death service connected by the VA or DOD. So again, the veteran had to have had their death service connected. Lastly, we have our veteran education grant. This is a one-time stipend of $750, and this is to be used by veterans towards post-secondary tuition.
So Eric, there's a lot of normal grants besides the COVID-19 grants. You said dental and optical, subsistence grants, special needs grants, surviving spouse dependent education grants, and veteran education grant. I'm assuming that if we go take a look at your website from the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, that you've got more information on each of those grants there.
We do, for sure. Again, I would still say that the best resource is always going to be your county veteran service officer, because they can help kind of, you know, run through your specific scenario, you know, work with the criteria, and ultimately they're the ones that have to help you apply. All applications for our various programs, again, must be submitted through a CVSO. The other benefit for veterans contacting their county veteran service officers is that the CVSO is like a jack of all trades. They're knowledgeable with not just our state benefits, but they're also going to be knowledgeable with all the federal benefits as well. So as an example, a veteran may seek the CVSO's help with state benefits and ultimately walk out the door having filed some federal disability claims, or maybe having applied for enrollment to the VA healthcare system. So again, there's a lot of side benefits for veterans contacting their CVSO besides just our benefits. And I also encourage people to, you know, stay in touch with your CVSO. Don't just reach out to your CVSO once and then not talk to them for the next 10 years because they got you the help you needed. You know, there's always new programs coming out, always updated things, both on the state side, federal side. And so the CVSO is going to be knowledgeable with those updated programs.
For all things veteran-related, whether it's resources or grants or any type of help that you might need, start with your county veteran service officer. They're usually located somewhere near the county courthouse, and you can go to your county veteran service officer. Every county has one, so it doesn't matter where you go. Start with them. They make it their business to know what resources are available. One last question, Eric. We've talked about it a couple of times now, but you've got a couple million dollars left for the COVID-19 grants. And once again, how do they apply for that?
By contacting your county veteran service officer. And again, just a reminder, once this money is gone, the benefits will close. We don't have a closing date yet, but you know, as we close in on the $0 amount, we will shut down the programs.
Eric, some great information today to help our citizens and our veterans through this COVID-19 loss 2020. Thanks for joining us today on Minnesota Military Radio.
Thank you very much for having me.
That was Eric Moline, the Veterans Benefits Division Supervisor from the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs. Joining me now from the flag line of the Minnesota Patriot Guard is Doug Bly. Doug, welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio.
Thank you, Tom. Happy holidays to you and your family.
Well, I hope you have a good and safe Thanksgiving. And as they say, if we do that, we'll have a chance for a nice, safe Christmas. So I hope everybody's paying attention to the health authorities as they're saying, let's be really careful between now and the time the vaccine comes out. You wouldn't want to be the last person to catch COVID and go down with that when they're standing there with the vaccine.
No, and as you know, Tom, in my family, it's hard. I've got a cancer as well as previous heart surgeries, and so we've got a lot of vulnerabilities in my family, and we're being super careful with each other, and it's hard, you know, to not hug your grandkids, but it's the right thing to do right now.
It is the right thing to do. And Doug, I know earlier in the year the state had a shutdown, and that put your riders out of business for a while, but then you've been back in business. This most recent shutdown, is that impacting you, or are your riders able to go on missions?
Well, that's why I appreciate the opportunity to talk to you today, Tom. We are open for business. We actually follow the National Cemetery protocol. If they shut down, we shut down. So right now we're following their protocol, and they're open. So if the family is looking to have our presence at a funeral, they should send a request at mnpatriot.org, left hand side, and then we'll make a tactical decision all the way through. You know, if COVID gets worse, if the incidence rate jumps up, we may cancel. I mean, with complete candor, if we don't like all the families acting around us, we may cancel. You know, so we're being very careful with our riders. We've got a lot of protocols in place for masks and social distancing, so we're still open for business.
So in the past, we've said that if you want to be a Patriot Guard rider, you go to the website and you sign up. Don't have to be a Vietnam veteran. Anybody can sign up to be a rider. And they have some standard equipment. You have a flag and a pole and sunglasses, which we figured out you need those because it's kind of emotional occasionally. But this year, you also need a mask.
We do, and we've been really just, I can't say enough about our members, Tom. I mean, they're an independent group of people, but they know it's the right thing to do. And, you know, a lot of our members who I'm so grateful that they can go during the week, Monday through Friday, to stand at these missions. And most of them are retired. Most of them are plus 65 years of age, and they're vulnerable themselves. And I just really, really appreciate their cooperation and helping with social distancing, helping with masks as well.
And Doug, it's been a tough year with the coronavirus pandemic, and unfortunately Minnesota's lost a lot of people, and that has to include some of our veterans that probably caught the COVID-19 and went down. So it's been a busy year for you from a mission standpoint.
Well, it's been down, obviously, Tom, you know, because we were shut down for all those months. But, you know, just the hard things, we had the Patriot Ride this year was canceled. You know, that's 5,000 motorcycles that missed an opportunity to gather with patriotism in their heart, and we missed that. The tribute to the troops ride, you know, was changed this year. So you're right, the mission count is down, but it's also those social gathering opportunities that allow us to be patriots and say thank you that we're missing as well. So it's really, on so many fronts, it's really been a hard year to handle.
And you've been a longtime supporter of the Minnesota Military Family Foundation Golf Classic, and unfortunately we couldn't put that on this year. But next year, number 12, we're going again, Doug, and I'm hoping that this vaccine gets here. We can get clear of this pandemic, and 2021 can be something more of a normal year. I'm praying for it. I'm sure you are, too.
Well, we are as well, because with the Patriot Ride canceling, we're now going to start the Minnesota Patriot Guard Gathering of the Guard in July, so it'll be our own ride. So like with you, fingers crossed, and hopefully the scientists have done a good job on the vaccines, and we'll be cleared to gather again as we did before.
And for the Minnesota Patriot Guard riders, it's all about those three things, isn't it?
Honor, dignity, and respect.
At all times. And you guys do a lot of great good to help a lot of organizations, and then go to 500 missions a year. And I don't know what we'd do without you. Once again, who's eligible to join?
Really, Tom, just any citizen, veteran, not a veteran, motorcycle rider, not a motorcycle rider, over 18 years old, and go to www.mnpatriotcare.org. Click join us on the left-hand side. All you need is a zip code and an email address, and we'll get you all the information you need.
And then you've got a calendar of events, and a notice goes out for any missions?
Correct. You know, we'll list all the missions, the locations, what's going on. It's also really important as we go into December with Wreaths Across America, because we don't know what's going to happen yet. So we're telling everyone, make sure you watch your mission calendar. And even if you see something on Monday, before you go on Saturday, check the calendar again to make sure nothing's changed. So Wreaths Across America is a very important event for us. And right now it's still good to go, but we don't know for sure.
So sign up to be a Minnesota Patriot Guard rider. Pay attention to the mission calendar, and you'll get emails if there's a mission in case we lose a veteran. Doug, you always do a great job with the Minnesota Patriot Guard, and appreciate your taking your time out of the holiday season to talk to us today. I hope you and all your riders have a great Thanksgiving and a wonderful Christmas.
Thank you, Tom, to you as well, and to all of our Minnesota National Guards people around the world. Same to you guys and girls.
Thank you, sir. That was Doug Bly from the flag line of the Minnesota Patriot Guard. We're just about out of time. Thanks for listening to this edition of Minnesota Military Radio. I'd like to thank our guests for joining us this week, Colonel Scott Roweeder, Eric Moline, Doug Bly from the Minnesota Patriot Guard, Commissioner Larry Herkey, the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, and finally, Minnesota's Adjutant General, Major General Sean Mankey. Please join us next week as we talk about the resources available to military families and hear the story of one of Minnesota's recently retired heroes. That's coming up next weekend on this station or online anytime at MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. I'm Tom Lyons, and I hope that you make a difference in someone's life this week.
Minnesota Military Radio is a production of iHeartMedia, the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, the Minneapolis VA, Beyond the Yellow Ribbon, and the Minnesota National Guard. Your host is Tom Lyons, founder and owner of Phelan Partners Limited, a merger and acquisition advisory firm. Tom is a life member of the American Legion, VFW, Vietnam Veterans of America, and the DAV. For podcasts and the latest updates, follow us at MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com.